A very good afternoon to all, brothers, sisters in the Dhamma. So today is the 4th of October 2020, Sunday. Yeah? We will be continuing with our sharing on the Path to Truth, the book written by Sun Yan Fasi. Then the title is The Path to Truth for the Modern Day Bodhisattva practitioner. We are at chapter 8, page 191. Be a living bodhisattva. So this topic should be quite interesting. Chapter 8, be a living bodhisattva. Since the bamboo park era, Shiji has brought together the love of many people from Hualien and gradually expanded that love to all of Taiwan, which then crossed border and spread throughout the whole world. So this was the history. Shiji actually started in the very early years, I think about 40 over years ago, where they started very small, very simple. I think they only have a few housewives or helper. Together, they gather some simple fundraising using the bamboo, like saving bank, for them to save. I think I forgot how much it is. The Taiwan money is very small. I think about 50 cents or $1, their Taiwan money, something like that. That's how they started from humble beginning until it is today so big and so well known, so established. Then, like it's mentioned here, they started from Hualien, somewhere in Taiwan, a small town. Then from Hualien, it grew, extended the activity to all the people of Taiwan who actually believe in their mission and their struggle. Then from there, they started to have the resources to establish overseas Shiji centers and recruit overseas members to actually help spread the Shiji mission and word of love. Their mission is mainly charity, love. Then later on, they extended to the four mission, which is very wholesome. We have gone through early on. They start with charity, then medicine, then education. I think lastly is humanistic culture. They were all very beautiful, wholesome mission and activity that can help humanity and the world as a whole. Then they say, in the beginning, we did not know what Shiji would become. That's why everything start from small. And when they start, most of these founders, they also don't know how it will end up, how well it will end up, and how sophisticated or big it will end up. Most of these things evolve. But for some, with their past, their vision can be very clear, and they can see very far, and their nature and their vow actually bring about all this conditioning that can trigger off the friction of their vows and all those things. Then whatever they want to start at the very beginning, most of these great beings, they already know this is what they have to do. Then for some, the mission is very clear and they establish everything very clearly. How it evolves is truly unknown. Means not easy to forecast or not easy to like even imagine that how it can be such, especially all the great tradition of Buddhism who has actually grown and expanded so far globally. They also, the founder also never believed it can be so widespread, so sophisticated and so big in his organization. So this is the norm of great beings who do great things. So all this will happen. So like they say, in the beginning, Shiji does not know what Shiji would become. Then they just abide by the concept of encouraging people to become living bodhisattva. This one is a very noble mission. Ren Jian Pusa means living bodhisattva within society, within the human race. So means within the world. And pave the road for love and compassion along the way. As the saying goes, there is a statue of Kuan Yin Bodhisattva in every family and a statue of Amitabha in every household. It means that many families believe in Buddhism. This one is, I think, referred to Chinese society, Taiwan and China. They chant the name of the Buddha and pray to Bodhisattva. Back then, I thought, to myself, wouldn't it be great if the saying was, everyone is Kuan Yin Bodhisattva and each person is Amitabha Buddha. If we can gather 500 people, there will be 1,000 hands and 1,000 eyes to look after people and help the suffering beings who live in the dark corners of our society. Are they not the great Kuan Yin Bodhisattva who has 1,000 hands and 1,000 eyes? The Mandarin saying is equivalent to 千手千眼, 观世音菩萨. So it's 1,000 eyes, 1,000 hands and 1,000 eyes, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva. So that's how they translate it into the English translation of, are they not like Kuan Yin Bodhisattva who has 1,000 hands, 千手, and 1,000 eyes, 千眼, 观世音菩萨. The sutta then said, Bodhisattvas emerge due to the needs of suffering beings. We need Bodhisattva because people are suffering in this world. Bodhisattva are not wooden carving, statue or painting. True living Bodhisattva help those who suffer with selfless love. In other words, those who relieve people from suffering and bring them joy are truly living bodhisattvas. Buddhist practitioners with true faith do not merely go to temple to pray to Buddha and bodhisattva for protection. Rather, they emulate the spirit of bodhisattva by learning to serve as living bodhisattva. Bodhisattva in Sanskrit means an enlightened being. Bodhi is enlightenment. Satta is a being. So Bodhi Satta means an enlightened being, whose mission is to seek the Buddha's way and relieve all beings of suffering. One must tread the Bodhisattva path to attain Buddhahood. We can be enlightened by listening to Buddha Dhamma. However, each of us has a different spiritual capacity. Thus, we must continuously seek the Buddha's way while relieving people from suffering. Only by engaging with people can we awaken to the truth. So this one is very true, eh? But I need to explain a bit. Eh? So if you want to really perfect yourself and develop the deep understanding of life, you need to walk the path of the Bodhisattva, take the Bodhisattva way to perfect yourself to become Samasambuddha. Alternatively, like what the author mentioned, you can also cultivate the Buddha Dhamma and become enlightened. So we can be enlightened by listening to Buddha Dhamma. Then the author also knew, however, each of us have a different spiritual capacity. Thus, we must continuously seek the Buddha way while relieving people from suffering. So this is for those who wants to go further, to actually develop the perfection. So the perfection of paramitas, we are taking the Bodhisattva vow to walk this Bodhisattva way or path is very, very important. But for those who are contented with the sainthood way leading to arahantship, it's okay. That is their choice. They can also cease after that. But like I always share, the Bodhisattva way is a lot more expensive than the usual sainthood way. That's the reason why the Bodhisattva way, the training is very long, very, very long. Minimum almost 3+ Sankhya kapas, aeons of existence. That is the fastest. And some take double that time. Then those based on faith is triple that time, about 12 aeons. But it's up to the individual based on your capacity. So everyone is different. So we need to find out for ourselves what our spiritual capacity is. Then accordingly, you take step by step to develop the cultivation. But if you are sincere, if you have the faith, if you can persevere, then it is not difficult. Even though the way may seem very long. For those who can recall the earlier of sharing about the Bodhisattva vows and the Bodhisattva way, I think you may recall the most important thing to do is to plant the seed of Bodhi, Bodhi Sing. The Bodhi mind has to be planted with faith, with understanding, and with deep sincerity. So when it is deeply planted, when our vow take firm roots, then this Bodhi mind will nurture itself. Then every time you come, whether you choose to come or you have to come, your form and mind will have this Bodhi seed and Bodhi mind that will nurture itself. Then it will bring forth the causes and conditions for the form and mind that arise to connect back and to remember the vow and to continue this work. So planting of the Bodhi seed leading to the Bodhi mind is very important. You have to do it with understanding, with a lot of faith and sincerity. Once you have done that, then you take the basic vows. After the basic vow, you should actually develop the cultivation. Then learn from those who have the experience or who have gone the way before. Then Like what I have advised you all, right? My nature has this unique way, which is quite unique. And because of that, there's a great thing that came to my nature about 12 years ago and requested me to share this. And that's why I share them in the year 2008. And not long after that, I started the sharing of the Bodhisattva way. Then the way this Bodhisattva vow has been evolved and developed has incorporated all the understanding that my nature has. That's why a very strong vow that you make to help you recover or recall all those important dhammas or right view that you must have to go this way. You actually make very powerful or very strong aspiration and vow by invoking power of words for causes and conditions for your nature to have this understanding or right view with regards to the Dhamma understanding. Life after life, whenever you choose to come, well, you have to come. And that one is very important. Once you have that, you won't get lost during the period when there is no Buddha Sasana. Otherwise, when this window of Buddha Sasana is no more, most living beings or even cultivators or even Bodhisattva who has not established themselves firmly yet, they tend to lose their way. There is not enough condition for them to continue with their cultivation and perfection. But because of what they have done during the sasana, their vows, their merits and all those things, they will have the condition to be reborn as a human being again during the next sasana. Then depending on their spiritual affinity and capacity, they will meet great beings again. They will understand the Buddha Dharma and they will cultivate accordingly. But my nature realized most Bodhisattva took so long is because every time the sasana is no more, they tend to get lost. They find it very difficult to come back to the way. So all this contributed to the reason why my nature came out with this understanding, because it realized it can speed up the entire cultivation when you make those vows or affirmation. You invoke power or truth to have those right view and right understanding life after life whenever your nature arises, means whatever form in mind that your nature takes to come to this existential world. They will manifest and they will arise so that you can recall them. You can have all this right view. With that, even then, when there is no Buddha Sasana, your form and mind will still connect and develop the understanding and continue with the cultivation and the perfection following the Dhamma way. So this is the unique part of my nature sharing with you all. So always remember the Bodhisattva vow, the yellow card, make sure you have them and go through them. Then develop the affirmation leading to the understanding. Then it also has a lot of good advice, how to break coming obstruction and how to cultivate special affinity with great beings and how to invoke power of merits for certain special vows to be taken to come to fruition and all those things. So you go through them and you will understand. Well, this topic is very relevant, how to be a living Bodhisattva. So my explanation will help, because everyone is different. For those who choose to stop at the sinhood way, leading to Arhatship, you can, that is your choice. But for those who can see the beauty of the Bodhisattva way, it is really a lot more. The cultivation is much more extensive, but rewarding. It may take a long time. So that's what life is all about. Creation is all about. So to be a living Bodhisattva means you go the way of the Bodhisattva to perfect yourself, to finally become a Sammasambuddha. Then as you perfect yourself, you help to fulfill your four basic vows, to liberate living beings from all suffering. Then severe, then endure all coming, negativity. Means whatever suffering that arises through karmic, you are able to endure them if you need to endure, or severe them through wisdom and understanding. There are certain karmic situations where you need to endure. You can't do much. Take for example, old age, sickness, and death. When you develop this, what they call condition to experience aging, as you age, your form, your physical body deteriorate. So when your physical body deteriorate, it succumb to sickness, disease, and also other related problem that comes with aging. Then of course, with aging, your senses fail you, your health fail you, sickness and disease also take its effect. So aging, sickness and disease and death, as you experience them or confront them, some of it you need to endure before the condition arises for you to overcome them. You can do whatever you understand the following the Dhamma way, like asking for forgiveness, vow not to repeat all this, then vow to follow the advice of the Buddha, to cultivate, to avoid all evil, purify the mind, and cultivate wholesomeness. And as you do this, you develop meritorious power, meritorious inheritance, or merits that can help you to turn things around, that you invoke power of merits. But while you do all this, it takes a while. It depends on causes and conditions. If you do it sincerely, then there will be a response. And when it comes, you will have this ability to be relieved of all the suffering. Then your life will improve. But in between, as you develop all this understanding and do what you have to do, the aging problem, the disease problem may still be there. So if you have the Dhamma, you have to endure them. That's why the word endure, the second basic vow of a Bodhisattva, is very important. You vow to endure and severe all suffering. To severe all suffering, you need wisdom. You need Dhamma understanding. That's why your vows are very important. Then the first vow is you vow to liberate the limitless living beings within this universe. Take them all across. So this is really out of love and compassion you develop the vow. And this first basic vow is very useful, very important, because that pure mind, which is love and compassion, is the vital pure mind that can condition rebirth without ignorance for you to come back as Bodhisattva. So the first basic vow is meant for the invocation of love and compassion. So love and compassion can never arise if you have not developed the understanding and the faith to go this way. When you undertake the training rule or you vow to take across living beings, the limitless living beings within the whole existence. So as you do that, means you develop profound love and compassion. Otherwise, you can't take the vow. And because of that vow, when you pass away as an enlightened being, even as an arahant or bodhisattva and beyond, there is no rebirth due to ignorance, because you have rooted out ignorance. So for this being, technically, they cannot come back. They cannot take rebirth born of ignorance. So how do they come back? They have to come back through this understanding, the bodhisattva way. We are taking the four basic vow, especially the first basic vow. That one will arise the pure love and compassion, means the pure thought for the karmic nature to create a form of mind. So this form of mind, because you still have your karmic nature, you will have a pure mind, means love and compassion. So that one combined, it becomes a form of mind again. So you can come as a vehicle and a tool, means a segmented life. But those who come through this bodhisattva way, they have beautiful karmic nature because of their understanding. Then for those who have walked for a certain period of cultivation and perfection, they also have their strong spiritual nature developed. That's why for great beings, they will know how to come. And they will have the ability to choose to come. And the timing, the condition behind their coming, everything can be established based on their understanding. And they will do it in a very appropriate manner so that it is based on understanding of the Buddha Dhamma, the basic nature's law that governs life and existence. Sometimes they have this ability to choose their parents, to come during what era, what civilization, what type of world system. You have that ability. That's why for those who have the ability to choose to come, you are different. Then you can experience very beautiful and wonderful living condition. Like our present civilization. I call it the golden era, the golden age. We born after Second World War. Then we all, most of us are born in a country that is fertile, prosperous, free from war and all those things, or calamity. That's why Malaysia in a way is very blessed. Then at the same time, if you look at the period that we go through, we are the baby boomers. During that time, our parents don't really understand contraceptive measures. So they tend to give birth to a lot of children and kids. So like my family has 9 of us. And most family has big numbers of brothers and sisters. But the new generation who have the benefit of science and all things, their family members are smaller. So nowadays, most people have two kids, or sometimes three or four kids. Very rarely you have more than four. And some can't even have any. And some try very hard. They only manage to have one. Some have to adopt. So all these are the scenario. But what I'm trying to share with you is this is a golden era, because during the baby boomers, we get to see the older civilization, which is still very relatively behind or primitive in the sense of scientific development and understanding. So the 50s, 60s, and the 70s, I get to witness them. I grew up in the 50s, went to school during the early 60s. Actually, it's 1960. I was in Standard 1. And I finished my education in 1970s. I graduated from university in 1979. Then during the 80s onward, 80s, 90s, the year 2000, 2010, and 2020, we have witnessed such beautiful evolution of civilization and consciousness. We look at the amount of IT, high-tech thing that has evolved. You look at the way we communicate and we actually interact with people. Travel has become so different. We used to walk in the olden days. Then later on, automobile comes about, bicycle, motorbike, then train, ship, then later on, aeroplane. But now we have supersonic plane, and our aeroplane can fly very fast. Then the era of high-speed train. Then we have the IT boom. Initially, it's the agriculture boom. Then industrial revolution, agricultural revolution, industrial revolution. Then the high-tech boom. Then now the AI or IT boom. So all this we get to witness during this period. Maybe in total, I'm age 67. The last 60 years, things has actually evolved so majestically, amazingly fast. And it's really the golden era, because you get to witness so much new things, so much beautiful evolution of technology and scientific, even commerce, banking and all those things, lifestyle, education, things that our forefathers or parents never get to witness and understand, because they were born during the 30s and the 20s, like my parents, 1920 something. Then they passed away before the year 2000. Except my mother. My mother lived until about 90 years old. She passed away later, but she is illiterate, uneducated. So we are very fortunate in that sense. So as a cultivator, as a bodhisattva who walked this way, if we can choose our condition of birth, the timing, the civilization, our parents and all things, means you really have great wisdom, perfection, cultivation. That's why you can come during this window and during such transition period, which my nature like transition period. And when I look back, it's the perfect era, because I had the means and the education to understand all this, the spiritual understanding too. Then whatever that people can develop and perfect themselves through success in life, both the mundane and the spiritual way, my nature has almost perfected it, which is very beautiful, very wholesome. That's why my nature really wish to share all this understanding with the living beings, with the world, and hopefully with the website and the sharing and the recording, all this can actually last until I don't know how long, maybe another 20, 30 years. If it can be for a century, it will be very beautiful, very good. But I don't think I will live that long. Maybe another 20 years maximum. By then, I'm 80-something already, 87 already. So while this nature still have the ability to share, do make use of it, then even when this nature no more, not to say the nature no more, this form and mind no more, the wealth of Dhamma from the sharing since the year 2004 until now and all those that are properly documented, recorded in the website, they are really a source of very beautiful Dhamma material, a repository of beautiful Dhamma, quality Dhamma information and material for cultivators, for maybe people who are interested in this understanding of truth. So this is the part I want to share, because this topic is very relevant, be a living Bodhisattva. So you can understand, I rejoice, my nature rejoice, make use of it, then go into all the teaching, the sharing, and maybe by the next sasana, you all also can become great beings, beautiful. Okay, so I will continue. We can be enlightened by listening to Buddha Dharma. However, each of us has a different spiritual capacity. This one we have gone through. Thus, we must continuously seek the Buddha way while relieving people from suffering. Only by engaging with people can we awaken to the truth. This is also very true. Life itself is our greatest teacher. As Bodhisattvas give selfless and unconditioned love, they are carefree and at ease. The world is filled with suffering beings. As long as we can see and reach them, we will take immediate action to help by embracing and comforting them, relieving their suffering and giving them warmth. In doing this, we will have Dhamma joy, form good affinities with people and receive blessings. So this is the Chuji's way. Although the world is full of impurities, there are many Chuji volunteers who constantly make the best use of their ability and contribute their sincere love. We must have faith. Not only should we cultivate ourselves on the Bodhisattva path and be a good Samaritan, we should also exercise wisdom to recruit more people to serve as living Bodhisattvas. When we do so, there will be hope in the world. So this is very true. The author is sharing all this from the viewpoint of an organization, which is Chuji. That's why Chuji has a very special setup. Their mission is very beautiful, very clear. Compassion in action, relieve suffering. And to do this, they need volunteers, they need helpers, they need even those who help to like help them to run, the members and all those things. All this will enable them to have the resources to reach out. So if you realize their mission is different because they have an organization and the resources. So wherever there is crisis or calamity, more calamity, not so much of crisis, more of calamity. The Shiji volunteer, whoever who is nearby or who can actually partake in the relief work, they will be sent there. Then some will volunteer in Gudan. So all this, if you look at it, it links up perfectly with their organization's mission. Without the organization's mission and resources, you can't do, because this is beyond the work of an individual. You really need such a setup. And luckily, Shiji has that resources, because financially they are very strong. They have a lot of generous donors, sponsors, and all those things. And they have strong support. That's why they have a lot of funds to do a lot of wholesome things. Then those who participate in all this, they can reap the benefit of what Shiji do, because they do a lot of this thing following the Dhamma way. And you live by the Dhamma way, you will be rewarded, your karmic nature, you will have the Dhamma joy and everything. That's why everyone who really have the understanding and go and do the relief work or help out, they see the big change in their life. They see the improvement in their life. They see the joy they have when they can help people, help them relieve their suffering, turn around. And they witness all this. Then they have more and more love, more and more compassion in action. And from there, when they study the Buddha Dharma, they listen to the teaching from their teacher, the abbot, it's very easy for them to develop the understanding. So this is Shiji's way, Shiji's setup, mission, and all those things. So this is one of the great Buddhist traditions that I used to share with you all. So this, hopefully, this chapter's title, Be a Living Bodhisattva, can have an impact on all of you as Kayanamita or cultivator. Okay, we still have another 30 minutes, so we can go on. The next subsection is cultivating the four all-embracing virtue. So this one must be referring to the four Brahma Vihara, if I'm not wrong. I often talk about applying the Buddha Dharma in our daily life. See, she also understands Dharma in daily life, which is our core sharing recently. And serving as living bodhisattva in this world. In learning the Buddha's way, we must walk the bodhisattva path. Now, this is very true. You want to learn the Buddha's way to develop the perfection to become Sammasambuddha, you have to walk the path of the Bodhisattva, means Bodhisattva path. If we truly and mindfully walk the Bodhisattva way or path, we will be able to attain Buddhahood, which is the goal of learning Buddhism. That's why when you can perfect yourself to become Sammasambuddha, that nature is so different. So beautiful. We are all ordinary beings at the present moment. All Buddhas began or begin as ordinary Buddhajana. And the destination is enlightenment. Between the beginning and the end, the journey is the Bodhisattva path, which means between destination is the perfection of Sammasambuddha, not only enlightenment, the perfection of all wisdom. Between the beginning and the end, the journey is called the Bodhisattva path or way. We must put the Bodhisattva way into action and not merely chant sutta. The Buddha used his wisdom to guide us to walk the right path and do good deeds. How do we serve as Bodhisattva? This one is very useful. The Buddha said, there are four methods to deeply move all living beings and gain their acceptance. Oh, she is referring to different things, not the Brahma Vihara. She is referring to the four actually wholesome virtue or mind states and gain their acceptance. So the four things are charitable offering, beneficial conduct, loving words, and cooperative deeds. So she has evolved these four things for you to successfully walk the path of the Bodhisattva. So these four things are also very useful. They are part and parcel of Noble Eightfold Path. Charitable offering is dana. Dana or generosity. Then beneficial conduct is right conduct, right speech, right action, right thought based on right view. Then loving words are right speech, gentle, pleasant, and wholesome speeches. And cooperative deeds are all your right living, the way you live your life. Your four right effort and all those things, then your right speech, right action, and right thought that can bring about that cooperative nature so that you will not create conflict, misunderstanding, or argue with people. You can cooperate with whoever. So these four aspects is very useful. And he called it, these are the four all-embracing virtue. Yes, they are virtue. Generosity is a virtue. All your right speech, right effort, and even right conduct, they are all virtue. The right conduct cover right speech, right action, and right thought. And even your right livelihood. Then the last one is, the next last two is loving words and cooperative deeds. So loving words are your right speech, kind speeches, gentle, pleasant, useful speeches. Then cooperative means no negativity. These are the four embracing virtue that a living Bodhisattva must have. Then charitable offering means giving or generosity. All religion emphasize selfless love, which manifests in action, is to give and to serve. Whether we give people money, tell them about the Dhamma, or relieve them of their fear, we are giving immediate help to people who are experiencing hardship or in need. Thus, we will be forming good affinity with others, affinity that brings about joy and gratitude to both the giver and the receiver. Beneficial conduct means doing good deeds or doing deeds that benefits all living beings. For example, Tsuchi volunteer help disaster survivors by supporting them through their most difficult times and provide them with shelter, usually food and shelter, so that their life can become stable and they can get back on their own feet again. So this aspect is very useful. Loving words means talking to others with warm and kind words, means gentle and pleasant speeches. To speak good words. Where sentient beings appear to be suffering is where the Bodhisattva will cultivate or practice. As we accompany them, we must thank them for allowing us to help and guide them through their hardship. Means you have gratitude towards them for giving you the condition to do all this wholesomeness. Finally, the strength of one person is not enough to save all people. They also realize that. Like trying to rescue somebody who has fallen into a river, it is dangerous for both the rescuer and the people needing rescue. However, if a group of people work together towards a common goal, then they will have tremendous strength. A group of people doing good deeds jointly is the virtue of cooperative deed. This one is another aspect of cooperative deed. As I like Shi Qi, it has become an organization that has this beautiful mission, and two is gathering of volunteers, members of the thing. They have a rich pool of resources to do all these things. That's why it's collective deed. It is a privilege to be born as human and a privilege to be able to hear the Dhamma. Now that we have been born as human and have the affinity to be a Tsuji, to be in Tsuji together, we must cherish that affinity and be good people who do good deeds together. Charitable giving, beneficial conduct, loving words, and cooperative deed may sound mundane. In truth, the four embracing virtues are principle for all people to conduct themselves. They are also the foundation for learning the Buddha's way. We should thoroughly understand the confusion and turmoil by witnessing suffering, and we should nurture our wisdom life with the world, with a world transcending spirit. The mission of Bodhisattva is to transform and save all living beings. Those already transformed should guide those who are in the process of transforming. Those in the process of transforming should guide those yet to be transformed. We must continue to recruit more people to become living Bodhisattvas. There are still many people who need our guidance to transform. Nevertheless, we must transform ourselves first. This is very true, prior to changing others. In addition, our mind should remain calm and undisturbed by people or matter. We must first set our example and cultivate ourselves so that we will be able to transform and save others. It is important for us to abide by the precepts. When we abide by the precepts, our mind will be at ease. So this one is very easy to understand. When the mind is at ease, we can remain unwavering. When we are unwavering, our wisdom will emerge. With wisdom, we can relieve suffering. This is very true. Okay, we end here. Exactly 4 o'clock. So that we can have our 45 minutes of awareness-based meditation. So make use of this formal meditation on awareness-based meditation to actually train your mind, stabilize your mindfulness. Then stabilize your awareness nature so that you can use it to meditate and to develop wisdom. So I will set the alarm, then I will off the light so that you can have 45 minutes of silent awareness based meditation. Just remember, relax into every mind state that arises. Relax for my mind. Maintain awareness. Then don't try to do anything. Don't try to know. Just aware. Finish. Aware. Finish. For as long as you can, if possible, 24 hours. Then finally, when you can locate your gateway, the last support is trust. So second session is meditation reporting. Plus, whatever question that you may have, you can ask me any question regarding the Dhamma. Then lastly is to apply the Dhamma, means Dhamma in daily life. So you can give your experience or sharing or whatever that you have experienced or tried in the aspect of cultivation, means how to apply this Dhamma in your daily life. So it can be on any of the essential Dhamma, because the whole essential Dhamma is very wide. It can be for your own cultivation, like how you cultivate the four right effort and all the noble eightfold path factor, how you start. Then when you are confronted with life situation, how you apply the Dhamma to overcome them. All these are very useful practices or training. That's why Dhamma in daily life is part and parcel of the cultivation. Then our today's topic is very useful to be a living Bodhisattva. To be a living Bodhisattva, you must have Dhamma in daily life. Otherwise, you cannot. So all this will tie them together.
Pratio.
Jin Hao, yes.
Yes. Yeah. I would like to share. And I think it's also my turn, Susan. I want to share the importance of Kayanamita.
Good. Okay. Sadhu. Very good.
I have been benefited and from among the Kayanamitas, from helping me, showing me and also giving me the advice, you see. Especially
good.
This year. So the Kayanamitas Brother Song, Brother Chong, Alicia, they all, see. So I'm really glad I have this good karma, see, to have friends like them, see. Because apart from Brother Theo, your guidance, all this, you see. And from time to time, you see, like Brother Song and Brother Chong, they're pointing out my problem, you see. And really, share with me how should I improve and how. That really, make me a big support, because especially this year, see, I can see that I've slightly to understand more better about your teaching, you see. Because last time really, it's all about knowledge, you see. Info. But now I start to
Most people have that experience. Now you start to what?
Start to experience it and also knowing
experientially, experientially.
Yeah, that's right.
Means starts to understand and apply in daily life. Dhamma in daily life. Very good.
All right. Especially recently there are certain thing encounter. I have encountered certain thing in the my company office, you see. A lot of time, I notice it's bring into my, when I doing my sitting, it's all just pour up, you see. I notice. I noticed that, you have to be very cautious when during the daily life.
Yeah.
Because our senses is all open.
Yes. That's why you must have order in life. You must be heedful, mindful. Otherwise, you become heedless. Then you live a life of disorder. Disorder means there is no order. You are not mindful. You are not aware. You don't apply the uniso manasikara. That's why you cannot deal with daily life activity. Then all these office problems that you mentioned, they will surface. When you try to meditate, they will surface. That's why I said thought is respond to memory, and memory is your accumulation. When you give meaning, you hold on to it, you worry about it, unresolved issue, unresolved problem, all this, they will surface. And to see that is the beginning of meditation, the beginning of understanding, the awareness that is aware of this thought. Then like I used to explain to in Metta, especially Song Day or the early days, why this thought? Why not other thoughts? And then you will be able to recall how all these thoughts come to you, because they are your unresolved problem, things that you give meaning to, that you give emphasis on, then you worry about it, then you cling on to it. Especially human problem, office problem, health problem, first noble truth related problem, relationship problem, old age sickness and death, when you are with people whom you don't like, when you cannot get what you want, when things don't go your way. So all these are the conditions that can give rise to problem. Problem only arise when we perceive in negativity, when we don't have the right understanding, when we don't have the right view to accept the reality of the moment. Then we don't know how to act. We act according to our fear, our memory, our views, opinion, and conditioning. So that is where living beings develop problems. Being heedless, they develop problems. When you are heedful, mindful, aware, you have the Dhamma. You are heedful. Then you don't have problem. Your mind is very clear. So you start to see this. Very good. Then understand the reason why you become like that. Then you can apply the Dhamma. You know it's important to train the mind now so that you can be heedful, so that throughout the day there is order, so that you live your life of an orderly person, or a life that has order, that don't have negativity of mind state, so that you don't project your thought to develop the fear anymore, the excitement, the anxiety, the fear, the worry, the unhappiness, the reaction of mind. So all this negativity of mind state, no more. And then you realize that's how you transform. That's how you change. Then your mind state becomes you no longer do all those things. That's how you actually transform and become beautiful. Then you realize most of the time you are aware. You can accept the reality of the moment. You do not react as before. When there is a situation, you do not perceive it in negativity. You don't project your thought to develop the fear. You don't worry about problem anymore. Problem is only a problem when you perceive it in negativity and worry about it. But if you don't perceive in negativity, like the Buddha said, thing is just the way it is. Whatever condition that arise, there are causes and conditions behind. Then what happens? You become peaceful, isn't it? Because that is the reality, that moment. Condition reset, it has to be this way, it cannot be otherwise. So when you understand that, you understand what is the reality, then you can accept at peace. But the so-called situation or problem still exists, so you have to solve it. Yes, solve it with a clear mind, that don't have the fear, worry, and anxiety. Like that day when Eric Tam called me. After I listened to his problem about the operation and all those things, I advised him. I said, you just do what you have to do. This is the dumb way. No amount of fear, worry, and anxiety can help you. So accept the reality, because this is the first noble truth reality, a common reality to all humanity, all mankind. No amount of fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation, or blaming is going to help you. So you do what you have to do. Means need to ask for forgiveness, ask for forgiveness. Need to determine not to repeat all this by following the advice of the Buddha to cultivate, avoid all evil, do good, and purify the mind. Then since he has been cultivating early on, except recently maybe didn't follow like before, because maybe busy with worldly things. But now with this confronting him, he will go back to the Dhamma. Then he will know what to do. Then I say, after that, you invoke power of merits. But a faster way is, because he is our Kayaramita, that's why I advise him, you call up Sui An, I say, let him know the same problem, then tell Sui An, I have spoken to you, and my advice is, help him by writing his problem and share with the Kayamita, so that the Kayamita can give them their blessing, pure wish, and radiate love and metta, or invoke power of marriage to help him. That's why that day, I think yesterday or 2 days ago, I forgot already, when that message came out, you all rejoiced, and a lot of Kayamita actually partaked. And on your own at home, you can silence your mind, visualize him, where you know his face, the photo and all those things. Then radiate love and metta. Then share merits for causes and conditions for him to have a safe and quick recovery. So that he can regain back his health soon. Then wish him well-being and happiness always, and may the blessing of the Triple Gem to be with him. Then may he recover to good health. May he have a smooth and direct operation. May he encounter skillful surgeons and doctors. Then may he recover from all this sickness, disease, and operation soon as possible. So all this is very useful. So for your case, it's a very good sharing, Jinhao. Thank you to you. You can continue.
Because I realize, to train the mind is not just only restrained only on the formal sittings. Because if you didn't keep the five precepts or apply the normal eight in the daily life, you see. If your life is heedless in the daily life, you see.
No point.
You will bring in, that's right.
For how long, when you do no use on.
Because when you are sitting, you will pop up. That's right.
Now you understand why you need to contemplate, reflect. Right. Then why the Avijja Sutta is very powerful. That's why your topic today is very good. Importance of Kayanamita.
Correct.
That is the first step to have Dhamma friends. That's why now you start to appreciate Dhamma friends. Then you also play the role of a Dhamma friend. You can also help people when you understand. And for your great work, you will be rewarded, because you help out in the website and the Dhamma activity. You, Sui An, or the committee, together with Sui and Partner Suri, Brother and many, even in B-Day or before. So whatever you do, these are part and parcel of the community of Kayanamitas. That's how we draw along their support. Then we support each other, we motivate each other, we counsel each other. So having Dhamma friend is the first step. Then because you have Dhamma friend, you can discuss Dhamma with them. Then they can point out to you those who are more advanced, or experienced or have progressed. They can actually guide you. Because last time they went through the training, then they also can see this is what happened to them. Then later on, when you yourself able to become heedful, aware and mindful, you transform, you benefited. You can also help people who come in later, the newer people. So cultivation is very useful. Then you realize Dhamma knowledge doesn't help. So Dhamma knowledge need to be transformed into yoniso manasikara, which is wise attention at the moment of sense experience. So this initial wisdom or wise attention can only come about through the three turnings of the Four Noble Truths. When you hear the Dhamma listening, that is the first turning wisdom. If it has not been developed because you lack the good understanding from your past cultivation, then you need to go for the second turning. You need to reflect, contemplate, and inquire. And you do that, as you do the reflection, the contemplation, the inquiry, it's like you throw out the Dhamma and investigate into the Dhamma. The inquiry is the investigation process. Why did the Buddha say this? How can I understand this? Then you recollect through mindfulness. What is that thing? Like birth is suffering. So what is birth? Oh, a sickness and death is suffering. When you confront the situation, you reflect, you contemplate. So that you understand what dukkha is. Like the second turning of the first noble truth, Dhamma or dukkha is to be understood. So all this can help. Then when you do this contemplation, reflection and inquiry, it's like you try to go through the first turning understanding that you receive. Normally you are not able to grasp the whole understanding because first time you listen or after a while you have better understanding, you listen, the deeper meaning come in. Then even this deeper meaning that come in, you may think you understand, but it's still not really stable. So you need to reflect, contemplate, and inquire. So as you do this, you actually are now trying to stabilize all the Dhamma understanding that you have heard. Reflect, contemplate, and inquiry. Then slowly assimilate them into your nature to become the initial wisdom. So yoniso manasikara need a lot of contemplation, reflection, and inquiry. It is through life inquiry, life investigation and contemplation and reflection that give rise to the stable understanding. So that stability or understanding will become the initial wisdom that will prompt you when you encounter a problem, when you encounter a situation, so that you are heedful, you are aware, you act according to understanding. No more acting according to memory. No more having your tendency, reaction, and all this. So now you start to see the second phase, which is the deeper aspect of cultivation. Not only the essential Dhamma knowledge, but going into the cultivation, how you do it. Like the 10 step of Avijja Sutta, how every step manifests. So your today's sharing is very good. You give condition for all this teaching to come out. And this is beautiful. Huh? I sadhu you rejoice. Huh? You can continue.
Because you know, I look around my friends, you see, there are some of them are Buddhists, but you know, they go into the I don't know what should I say, it's sort of like, you know, fake Buddhism, you see.
Yeah.
So
you're right. there are a lot of, not to say fake, the type of Buddhism that has deteriorated over time because
All right.
people fail to understand the actual teaching. So they have actually deteriorated, evolved until become like no resemblance of the true teaching. The emphasis is on something else. It's mainly thought-based meditation, makes you a lot of logic, makes
All right.
you a lot of knowledge, knowledge-based, thought-based. And then, of course, some are still based on logic, is rite and ritual,
right.
Or, dogmatic, tradition. All this come in. That's why when you look at the Chinese go through the festival, even the Chigui Pua or the Mohike festival, there's a lot of rite and ritual tradition involved. Actually, hardly any Dhamma except the part on economic activity and all those things. Because a lot of people become very dogmatic and traditional. So especially the month, 7 months, the Hungry Ghost month, they develop a lot of fear, a lot of taboo, and a lot of wrong view, wrong understanding, which is nothing to do with Dhamma. Like Chief Reverend used to share, they got such thing as the hell that will allow 1 month for the Hungry Ghost to come out. Then after 1 month, you obediently return. There is no such thing. The Hungry Ghost rhyme exists all the time. And there are many who have fallen, didn't take care of karma, become healers. They take birth as hell beings. So all this understanding is very important. That how we share merit, transfer merit, and help all these Hungry Ghosts, hell beings, and all those that are in a woeful state. So these are the proper understanding, proper Dhamma. But to help, you yourself must have the Dhamma. Otherwise, you cannot. If you yourself don't have the Dhamma, how can you help? Like the Buddha said, if yourself is stuck in the cesspool, or what they call the quagmire, then how can you help others out of the quagmire? You have to really free yourself. Then from that state of mind that is free, you can help people come out. So all this understanding can be reflected, which is very good. Sadhu to you.
Yeah. So, I mean, I have to say that I'm very, very fortunate to meet you, to get the right teacher and the right teaching.
Yeah.
And at the same time, this path is not easy at all, is it? It's a long, long path, is it?
A lot of people actually lost their way. They went to Holland, don't know how many times. Well, the true teaching is very rare. Very few cultivators can teach you, can guide you. Well, they themselves also caught in the thought-based meditation. They themselves cannot have the mindfulness and the awareness to see, to insight, to awaken. That is the main issue and problem. There are very few real teachers who can really teach the Dhamma and share the Dhamma. But the real Dhamma has nothing to do with knowledge. Knowledge that are very appealing and humorous in nature is not the real Dhamma. The real Dhamma is applicable to life, can transform living beings, can actually change your view, straighten your view, then transform them to turn around, to have a better personality, better understanding of life, then their character, everything will transform for the better. Then they will understand the nature's law very clearly. Then they will understand the essential Dhamma very clearly. Then they will know what to do. Based on their understanding, it's very straightforward. Then they cultivate accordingly. They won't become gullible. They don't just listen, follow instruction, become gullible. So all these are the very good aspect of sharing regarding cultivation. And I believe now is the time for us to go into this so that you all can progress faster. Otherwise, continuously trapped in Dhamma, then without the training of the mind to be mindful, to be heedful, you cannot progress after that. That's why the Buddha say, heedfulness is the path to the deathless. The heedful never die. But if you never train your mind to be heedful, then how can you progress? Then according to the word, the heedless are as if dead straight away. You don't stand a chance. That's the reason why now you all start to see all this. Then you learn. So your today's sharing is very good.
So that's why I mean, as I say, this is a long path, is it? So when I have problems, you know, I'm very, very lucky that, you know, I have friends like Brother Song and Brother Chong, they all, that they have very experienced and senior than me. And they actually, I mean, I took the initiative to ask them, and they share with me where my problem is and how should I overcome it.
Yeah.
And I'm very grateful to them, really.
Sadhu.
Because
you will have gratitude towards them. Mm.
Because without them, you know, I really don't understand your cheating.
Not easy.
But now I start to realize, you know, I start to appreciate what you have said.
The other thing is also easy to see others' mistake, but very difficult to see your own mistake. Your own shortfall, because people who lack mindfulness, awareness, heedfulness, and sensitivity of mind state cannot see their own defilement and mistake. They always see outside, point outside. And their heedless thinking is very fond of pointing out other people's mistake, but they never aware within, sensitive, to understand their own problem, their own mistake. And most of them know they have problem, but they don't know how to resolve it because they are heedless. And they continue to create wrong thoughts, which are not helpful at all. So the aspect is very true. That's why you have very good understanding now, where you know it's not easy. This path is not easy. Then you continue. Just now you want to say something.
Correct. That's why I say, I mean, this is my experience, really, that if any of the Kayamita have any problem in understanding or cultivations, I mean, apart from, I mean, asking Brother to tell you, should seek for those that experience cultivator, you know, like Sister MB, Alicia, Brother Chong, you know, Brother Song, Sister Po Cheng, because they are, you know, there are many that, you know, start to get to know. So I think it's very important, apart, rather than you just, you know, keep yourself quiet, you know, think, you know, you'll be stuck there, just like what I did, you see.
Yeah, the sharing of understanding is very important. That's why this Sunday class is very important. Sui An suggested this Dhamma in daily life so that you can take the opportunity, make use of this opportunity to learn, to share, to express yourself, to learn. Then when you share your experience. Then you develop the understanding, then you express your gratitude towards Kayamita. Then you know why Kayamita is important. Then in return, when other Kayamita share, you also learn, because alone you can't learn much. But when you share everybody's mistake and everybody's good progress and result, you develop faith, motivation, understanding, and joy. I had a lot of feedback. Kayamita tell me, is it this Sunday sharing and also our Thursday and Tuesday class sharing by Kayamita, especially those who heard about those who have progressed, they have a lot of joy, then they are motivated. And so this is really something that is very useful. We should thank Sui An for the good suggestion, Dhamma in daily life. So I told him I will make use of this session for the sharing. So at least we have about an hour or an hour plus. Then we have longer meditation because Sunday class is 3 hours. So we break it up into initially 45 minutes to 1 hour of Dhamma sharing based on the book, The Path to Truth for modern day and Bodhisattva practitioner. Then after that, we have 45 minutes of meditation. That was very important, formal awareness-based meditation. Then from there, we move on to the second session, which is now, reporting of meditation, sharing of whatever experience, Dhamma in daily life, or question so that everybody can develop the understanding. Very good. Sadhu, you know.
I just also want to thank Sister Po Ching because she
definitely
encouraged me, is it?
Inspiration. Because all of a sudden she from nowhere, nobody turn around and become so good. Just like that one gave a lot of inspiration to a lot of Kanyamata. It shows that, like Po Ching say, if she can do, everybody can do. She also started as don't know anything, very new when she came. And that was just 4 years ago, 3-4 years ago, 2016. And she progressed very fast this last 1 or 2 years, where she very determined and she followed all the instructions that I gave her. Then she listened attentively to the sharing. She developed a lot of joy, a lot of faith, and she made vow. She followed the Bodhisattva vow and all those things. That's how she progressed, the daily religious routine. And all the mindfulness training and awareness-based meditation. And she developed the stability of that awareness nature that helped her. Then she started to understand what I say, because when she developed the ability to be aware, then through the awareness, things just happen. No need to know. The understanding become automatic. That it just unfold by itself. And then you all start to understand what I mean. Not easy, but can be done. So these are very useful factors or condition for people to develop the faith. Then the urgency, like Po Ching said, the urgency. She always contemplate, reflect, 5 daily contemplation, reflect on the death and all those things. The urgency of cultivation. Very good.
That's all. Thanks.
That's all. Okay, thank you so much. Let us rejoice with a good sharing. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, very good. Now you have the right to nominate another Kayamita. We still got about half an hour. Anyone can nominate.
Sister Sui.
Sui.
We'd like to hear about her recent cultivations and
notice stabilization really takes time. I find moments where I am mindful, but like you said, sometimes when I sit down again, then I notice a lot of thoughts. Then there are things that still like hot buttons for me. Then those times when those topics come up or when things like that happen in my life, then I notice I still react, and then those are the unresolved parts that I haven't stabilized yet. So it's layers, many layers. So I still lately I notice that. So I that is something that I found something I learned recently. It is it is what the advice that Daddy gave for the other sharing actually helped when he said it is part of the meditation, it is part of the cultivation.
Yeah.
Whenever anything arises, it is part of the growth. There's
yeah.
there's no transgression or
yeah,
become
yeah.
more cha.
Yeah.
All that is the thought.
Yeah.
So it's every time it solve a puzzle, it's
yeah.
a growth.
Yeah. It's the understanding part. Mm. For Sui, she has become very different. She can see very clearly the spiritual path, the importance of the spiritual path. That's why she decided to come home. Then when she understand how all this can be so beautiful and even bring about the understanding that can help her have a different view of life, that's why she decided to retire. Which is very beautiful, so that at this age, just before 40, almost for now above 40, of course, she realized she has a lot of time to do what she wants in life, to contribute what she wants to contribute in life. And they have the good life because of their good karmic past, their good karmic inheritance. They have been good parents before. That's why this life they come, they have good parents. Then they have the Dhamma training, the Dhamma spiritual connection. That's why they can become our children. And then they are very smart, even in the academic field when they are very young. Then they have good life. Then they are like very blessed. And then recently, after the last 3-4 years, when she came back, she attended a retreat and decided to follow the teaching. Then especially this few months MCO, she learned more. She become like more deep in the understanding. Then the sharing and the helping out in all this producing of video Zoom session is very wholesome. Then as she helps, she do, she learn. Then what is important is one thing very sure is she no longer like last time. Panic, worry, fear. So she know how to apply some of the Dhamma. Like he will reflect, the reality is such. Worst thing scenario is what? Like that day she shared. People horn her. Never mind. Getting horn is better than becoming panic and get into accident, isn't it? Or simply do things, isn't it? Then sometime and she drive, I also share with her a certain aspect. Like that day she was sending message to one of the, I think, the car repair, that not repair, that one that do the coating for her, the acrylic coating for her car. And she want to ask him something because during parking, she also learned a new car, not so new already. How many months? 2 months already, or 3 months? 3 months already. And then she, one of the parking, she suddenly missed the estimate and scratched. She relied on the mirror too much. Then the side there, the bumper, a little bit of very minor scratch. So she came back, she said, "Daddy, I scratched my car." I said, "It's okay, this is life. Whatever that is new or perfect will deteriorate. Accident will happen, mistake will happen, but learn from it." Then he learns to accept the reality. Then when I saw it, I said, "Oh, maybe you can ask that car that provide the service for the acrylic coating to check whether she can do the touch up or not." But then while she was messaging that person, I tried to talk to her in certain things for understanding other aspects. Then she told me, "Daddy, I cannot focus on what you say while I do this. I have to finish this before I can listen." I say, "This is good. So that you know, when you multitask, you actually are not attentive anymore. So for you to understand that is very important. So that the art of listening, when you listen, you have to listen attentively. You have to give priority to life. Of course, when you are doing your work, you have to act and move quick. It's like you multitask, but actually you are attentively listening to the appropriate speech and the sound. When this person speaks, you listen. Other people gossip or whatever, you don't have to listen. Unless you want to listen and make use of it. Otherwise, it's no point. Then, as you listen, if that person who speak or what don't have much understanding or dhamma or maybe factual point, then you can choose to relax and listen to other things. So all this is possible. Then when you are mindful and aware, you can simultaneously be aware, but you can only attentively listen to one thing at a time, but you can move very fast. Because mindfulness is very fast. Mindfulness is faster than lightning. Then sometimes when you completely silence, spacious awareness without a center, that one, very different. Whatever you want to know, you can know within the oneness. Because that nature is so beautiful, that it won't get itself entangled anywhere. It will not get lost anywhere. So all these are beautiful experience and understanding. So in a way, she has learned and changed very much. And she reflected a lot, contemplated a lot. And sometimes she can use her own word to share certain things. But just now, because she now caught her spontaneously, she not really, that's why she just shared a little bit. But actually, she has an understanding, like she said, a lot of things not stable yet. So she will learn. Then later on, when she become very stable, she will share. And her sharing is spontaneous. And then it will just come up. When she have enough exposure, enough understanding, then she can relate everything to Dhamma. Then she not only share from her own experience, she can only also share from what other people share. And all this become very useful, very beneficial. Then it's like Kayamita ship, the whole meaning come out. Because we walk the path of Dhamma together, and those who have the Dhamma can guide others. Then we are here to share understanding, to learn from each other, to respect each other's cultivation, to develop the harmony, then to inspire, motivate, and actually help benefit each other. Then how to really apply the Dhamma in daily life, applying Noble Eightfold Path when we communicate. Among Dhamma friends is easier, where the sincerity show out easily and it can be expressed. And most of us give our precepts, and most of us have some form of Dhamma understanding. So we know how to resolve issues and all those things. We tend to be more friendly, more cooperative, and very helpful. And Dhamma friends are very sincere. That's why when you have any problem or you approach them, most of them, unless they are busy or they have some issue on their own, they will be able to help you. If they can't, they can refer you to somebody else who can. Then you can initially maybe recommend them to meet up with Suyan and talk about it or whatever. Then if Suyan cannot handle, she will refer to me. So all these are very beautiful. Then like Chin Hao now, his sharing is very good because he also now starts to appreciate how the other Dhamma friends that have progressed can actually point out to him all the mistakes that she still has. Because these are the people who has gone through the cultivation on their part. They have crossed those stages that Jin Hao is still trapped in. Then they can guide him. All these are very beautiful understanding and sharing, and that is what Kayamita Ship is all about. And because we are Kayamita, we always discuss the Dhamma, share the Dhamma, help, inspire, motivate, and also express the understanding of Dhamma. then we can also actually develop a lot of wholesomeness. A lot of Kayamita, they would like to express their gratitude, their joy, their faith, understanding. So this sharing is very important. That's why don't be shy. Don't be shy. Very good. What's the time now? Oh, still earlier. 5:36. Okay, now I get Sui to nominate somebody so that we can have more sharing.
Thank you. First thing, I'd like to I have much gratitude to you and to all my other teachers for the teachings in my life. There is now much joy when I hear the Dharma, and like you say, the Dharma has to be applied in daily life.
Yeah, daily life, yes.
Like recently, I had to go to hospital for quite a few checkups. And that is the time when you see a lot of people.
Yeah, in the hospital.
And it also makes me keep watching my mind. What is my mind thinking? Apart from the usual worry and all that,
correct.
Surprisingly, there's not much that negative thoughts.
Oh, so very good. Miss, you have improved a lot. The negative emotion no more. You can learn to accept the reality. Then you can reflect on the First Noble Truth reality. Then you can even be mindful of how all these people who are sick in the hospital, you can feel their mental state sometimes. That's why living being full of suffering, misery. Then when they don't have the Dhamma, they don't know how to confront this Noble Truth, this reality, which is very good.
Yeah, Varathio, when you see people like this, then you think that, of course, we think about the life on our this life.
Yeah.
And the only thing that sets me thinking is, what am I doing with my cultivation?
Oh, sadhu, very good.
And the other thing I learned about is causes and conditions, Varathio.
Sadhu, yeah.
You know,
that
like,
one, sure.
Yeah. A lot of things now, especially at this time, there's a lot of, I would say there are a lot of mayhem in the country and in the world.
Yeah.
When we feel all this, of course we get affected by it.
Yeah.
But I also learned to see it. All this is causes and conditions.
Yeah. So you will not be involved.
If we are bored at this time, we will not get so involved.
Yeah.
We just, like, say, well, watch the thing being played out.
Let it unfold. We are this unnatural condition. Cause and effect. Very good. Sadhu, wow, that aspect is very good. Then sometimes I think you also may have moments where you see all these sick people, how they go through the agony, the misery, and the bad karmic patch. You count your own blessing, you feel that, wow, you are so blessed. At least you are not the one that has a lot of all this confronting.
But you don't know yet. The test is still ongoing test.
Yeah, you will know why. Because when I compare, I realize, wow, we are like so blessed. My wife used to tell me, Homia.
Yeah, generally.
Homia is because of our marriage. Dhamma. That's why things go our way. Otherwise, a lot of people suffer miserable. Like you say, Jia Jia Yu Ben Nan. Oh, you don't know Mandarin. Huh? Every family has its own problem.
Yeah.
Then, like Alicia used to say, everybody got his own difficult chanting. Jia Jia Yu Nan. So, song they all used to share that. Then, Jin Hao also. So, this is what Dhamma in daily life is all about. Anything you observe or see when you visit the hospital or you yourself go for your routine checkup and all those things, when you witness all this, the Dhamma will arise, the contemplation will arise, then the understanding will set you free, set you differently. Then you understand that you are different.
Thank you. There's,
there's
not so much appreciation for the Dhamma. One of the things that in earlier part of my cultivation was doubt, doubt and not enough virya. I think I managed to overcome that.
Very good. You can overcome that sadhu. Your doubt is an initial obstacle.
Dhamma, it's like, and you can see that the Buddha has so much wisdom. Then it's like...
Very true, yes.
But at the same time, we need people like Brad Thiel to explain to us. Otherwise, if we are on our own and we read, we probably won't understand half of it.
Definitely, because need to be explained. And this understanding is very rare, rare. The true understanding is very rare. So now you all start to appreciate even Jinhao. He said, without the other Kayamita helping him to understand on his own, he find it very difficult. Then for you also, now you understand. If I don't explain, the understanding aspect of the application of Dhamma cannot come out. When you confront situation, that's why a lot of so-called Buddhists or meditator or cultivator, they cannot handle life. When they are confronted with situation, their knowledge are like of not much use because they are like completely stunned and they are back to square one. Just like Jinhao realized, no amount of formal sitting can actually give you the wisdom. The wisdom comes from daily mindfulness, heedfulness, that see, observe and understand. All those formal meditation sitting, if you go there to experience the peace, the calm, then of course together with all the pain, I used to say the suffering and the misery, you go to retreat not to torture yourself. So a lot of people don't understand. They just want to run away to develop some peace and calm. But when you are in that setting, you experience some peace and calm. But that is not wisdom, not necessary wisdom. When wisdom arises, it's different. That's why the Yoniso Manasikara, you need to go through the Abhijja Sutta. You need to go through the first, second, third turning wisdom. So many of these that we share today is very useful, very, very useful. And that is what cultivation is all about, because it's a wide topic. It's not just understanding for number two, three turning the theory. No use. If you don't go down into the cultivation, you cannot understand. If you don't train your mind to be heedful, you cannot see, you cannot understand. So all this very useful information, when it's shared, people start to see the importance of moving into heedfulness to start the cultivation. The first thing to do is to develop the daily mindfulness leading to heedfulness. Without that, you cannot progress. Very difficult to progress. So all this understanding has started. Then the reflection, the contemplation, then the sharing of the Dhamma. Then the Dhamma discussion is very useful. Very good. Sadhu to you. Anything else then?
No library.
Okay.
Now working or not real time.
Back to work every day.
I can only listen to your recording when I'm driving to work or driving back.
No problem. But more important
so
is
today,
you learn to be mindful and heedful while going through your career. In the midst of your career activity and life. Means when you are doing your work, attending meeting or whatever, that is the daily mindfulness. Develop them. It can be done. And it makes you more efficient, actually. Yeah, make you more efficient. Determined to be mindful. Like you say, you have overcome doubt. You have overcome virya. The need to have virya, the lack of virya. If you can overcome these two, your spiritual faculty will be complete. Because when you overcome doubt and virya, means you have right understanding. Then you have this virya to prevent you from being complacent and sleepy. Then it will drive you to cultivate. Then as you listen to more sharing, your faith develops. Then sleep will fall into place.
Is because I mean, this one thought also came to me is like in this life, if I do not make use of faith, imagine the wasted,
opportunity.
Opportunity, yes.
The window of opportunity. This is the window. Very.
When everything is in place, you know. Right place, right time, right teacher. What else can I ask for?
Right. Born as a human being, some more encounter the Dharma. Then we all the parameter, all the set condition. You don't make use of it. This window is going to be very, very rare, difficult to come by again. Maybe have to wait till next sasana.
Because like Chin Hao has said that there are so many people who do not have the true teaching. And just imagine if we were in that situation.
Yes. It's very pitiful. That's a lot are thought-based, gullible, trapped in rites and ritual, belief system, tradition.
That means I have done some good things in my past life.
Definitely. Because you have affinity with Triple Gem and a lot of Dhamma practitioners. Without that, you cannot be one of the Kayamita. You cannot be one of the participants who is very close to us and very sincere in your participation. I remember in the early years, your views are very strong and you don't like karma, I remember, in the sharing.
Karma,
you want to walk out already. But now you're so different. You have developed the real understanding of karma. Last time, you have a wrong misconception of what karma is. That's why you reject the karma straight away. It's like taboo. Remember, all this has changed. And over the years, you have transformed and become beautiful. You are more appreciative of Dhamma and understanding. Then, like you say, you grew up in an environment and work condition as a lady, and especially your job, you need to be tough, you need to be fierce. So in the early days, you were very fierce.
I clash with a lot of people, right?
You can
just imagine my next few life, how much karma I have to pay back.
Don't mind. That one, when you have the wisdom, the Dhamma, it becomes resolved very fast. Before you have the understanding, it will come back as coming. Then you have to take it, no choice. That's why you have to endure, you have to go through. But when you have the vow, everything, then when you vow for this clear understanding of the essential Dhamma life after life, whenever you arise or choose to come, or have to come, you must have this right view and right understanding. Then all this Dhamma will help you resolve the karmic thing. Karma is when there is no more condition to make you miserable and suffer, it will reverse, it will cease. This is a very important understanding. I realize all this karmic thing, when it comes, the moment I apply my Dhamma understanding, it ceases. Then it reverses, very fast it reverses. Then I realize if it has no more power to torment you or make you miserable, it will just reverse. Then my nature know that you have to ask for forgiveness for coming offense to be broken. Without that, very difficult to overcome. Because the coming offense will actually obstruct you from having the understanding or meeting up with the right condition and people to help you and turn around. This is what I saw in people who come and see me. Some just no condition at all. You share also no use. Well, they cannot receive, they cannot understand. So everyone is different. So Dhamma is to be developed to a very, very wide range of experiential understanding. That's why the Bodhisattva way is needed, to actually expose yourself to a lot of understanding. Well, everyone is different, every situation is different, every condition is different. Sadhu to you, PG. Very good sharing. Oh, today on the sharing, all very good. Sadhu, yeah.
Sadhu, Bertil. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you so much. Let us rejoice together. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So always remember, Dhamma in daily life very useful. So these are the type of sharing that will help you and help others. Then it also gives you the opportunity to learn to express yourself, understand or not? I realize many Dhamma friends, they not share, they not speak out with you. They still got this shy attitude, It's not paise, actually, it's you dare not try out because you lack this confidence to share. But most people, I realize, unless in your working life, career life, you are very vocal, authoritative, then you take charge of meeting, discussion, everything, then you can express yourself, you dare to speak. Otherwise, most of them are very shy. They can't even like express themselves or share. They call it the stage fright before they really start the public speech. They already got the fear inside them. Yeah, they are not used to it. So these are the people they should try to express it. I remember like initially, Jin Hao, even PG, when you all started, Bao Lian Liao, or even Song, initially you all tend to be like very new to it. So when you share approach, it's like there is a lot of like you are not confident, then you just speak from whatever that come out. Most of it is like memory that you try to remember. But when you try to remember and share and express, you realize not much of the memory come out. Like you got stuck here and there. But later on, like now Song, they all understand already. Like you know. So now, they only need to like make a note of what they want to share. Then after that, they share, they just share because they have become more confident. But then you just flow. Then as you share, as I give you my support and maybe encouragement and I expand on it, then it gives you new understanding and new idea, then they will share more, share more, share more. That's how you develop the ability to express yourself. Actually, this one is a very good training. I realize not many people can do that. When I was in the university, I remember in my final year, there is this counseling division, Dr. something, Dr. Tan something, I forgot already. He's very good, he's a very good counselor. So he gathered a group of us, about 30 to 40 of us. He started a session on this public speaking and sharing. So we were given a simple theme or story or message where we will discuss the topic on. And this story or theme has many characters inside there, many characters. Then it's also usually one of the miserable victim of circumstances and all those things happening in the story. Then we had this big group of, like a big conference hall where all the 30, 40 of us participate. Then he start by nominating people to speak. Then one by one, they slowly start. Then later on, as the session go on, after a while, everybody inspired, like want to also share. Then those who are timid who didn't share, their turn will come. So they will be called out. Oh. Then I realized it was very interesting. Then I presented a totally different viewpoint. You know, everybody praised the hero or the good character inside there. But I go and praise the lady who is the victim of circumstances. Then I speak a lot on that thing because I understand life. And I have love, I have compassion for that lady. I say, normally people don't like this type of people, victim of circumstances. Because like, ayo, what is there to talk? She is a victim of circumstances and all those things. But the hero, a lot of people like to share the story. I think this actor, this character is the best. I find this character very interesting. He is very vocal. He's very strong, he's very authoritative, and he's a leader. So many good things you can talk about. But the one with the victim of circumstances, people find it not interesting and nothing to talk about. And they thought if you choose this character means you reflect that you are also somebody who are unhappy or who don't have the understanding to choose the good people and the character. So I found that very useful. Then after I participated for about 2 or 3 months, that session, that session lasts 2 or 3 months, every week you attend. Then I realized when I came out to work, in the meeting, management meeting, I can just raise issue and express myself and give my opinion and all those things. That's why I was successful in my career because I can speak out. I can express myself. And when there is a need to hold meeting, chair meeting, I can do it. And I have that ability. So I was full of joy and gratitude towards that counseling master or teacher. Okay, I think with that we will end. 6 o'clock. Oh, exactly 6 o'clock.